Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 friends, to your One World Talk Show with your host, Greg Elgrid. That'd be me. And I'll tell you what, we got a powerful, powerful show lined up today with a gentleman who's been on the front lines for many years, long time. This guy is, I can't say enough about him. I mean, he's hitting every category, civil rights, human rights, law, film work, radio. I get dizzy just trying to follow you. Opio Sakoni, and I tell you what, it's an honor. I'm going to say that again with a capital H. It's an honor to have you on the show. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, sir. It's an honor to be on your show.
Hey, you know how radio is, live radio, a lot of little things that we got to get to, but we finally got you on, and I tell you what, I'm looking forward to the segment. So I'm going to just say tell a little bit about your background to the people who are listening, and we'll get right into it. How about that? So I'm going to try to do you justice because I know you're on a lot of different fronts. So Opio Sakoni is a filmmaker. He's a professor, filmmaker. He's also the author of Black Culture Voice. From the first civilizations to hip hop. Opio is a Howard University Law School graduate and a human rights activist, and I know that very, very well. He taught briefly as an adjunct professor at Portland State University, and also has taught criminology at Jacksonville University. Has been in radio. He had a show, historic show, we should say, on KBMS Radio, where he produced a show. He was the excellent producer of a show that was centered around hip-hop and politics and everything in between. He's also worked for the Drug Policy Alliance. He interned for Amnesty International and the Trans Africa Forum. And I'll tell you, Mr. Sakoni, Opio, our honorable guest, has appeared on C-SPAN, CNN, I mean, just excellent commentator. The O'Reilly Show as a commentator. He's an activist, and as we said, he's a filmmaker as well. One of the current projects, or the more current projects that he did, was a documentary film including The Bessie Coleman Flying the Blues. I'm going to say that again because I don't want to do you wrong, Opio, okay? Let me say that right. Documentary film, Bessie Coleman Flying the Blues. Well, let's talk about that first. I think that might be a good start. What do you think, Opio? What do you think? Yeah. I'm trying to do you justice, brother, and I know you got a lot going on, so I just want to make sure we got you good. So go ahead and share who you are. And I mean, I tell you, the folks will love you like I love you as a brother. So go ahead. I want you to go ahead and speak on it. So Tell the people about you. Some of the things that you do.
Hey, thanks. thank you. Y'all don't know, this is a good friend of mine. We've actually been down in the struggle. When you talk about people are working to change the names to the Confederate monuments and fighting under Jordan Davis issue, that boy that they killed for loud music in Florida. Trayvon Martin, this brother right here, Greg Greer, is on the ground, and I'm talking about doing the actual work. So when you listening to this brother, you know, he might be humble and everything, but I'm telling you, he has his hands in all the big stuff, and people rely on him for not only the creativity he brings in activism, but when he say he's going to do something, he does it. You know, that's what, you know, those of us who are activists respect about Reverend Greg Greer. But yeah, man, I'm so happy you bring up Bessie Coleman. Maybe 10 years ago, and I had thought that, you know, I would study film, and I wanted to do a documentary, and I did my first documentary in Portland, Oregon, called Small City, Big Hip Hop. It was about hip hop and social issues in Portland, Oregon. I wanted people to know the incredible artistic vibe that I felt when I moved to the Pacific Northwest, where I ran a radio station here, and I also did a show and so on. But well, I thought I would really get serious about film, and so I began studying it. And while I was studying it, I ran into an issue that there was some black films being made in the 1920s, and in my own town, Jacksonville, Florida, which is the most northeast portion on the coast of Florida, this was a booming film town in the 1920s. Did the Lauren Hardy film, but it also did positive black race films. One of the films that they did was this film called The Flying Ace. And The Flying Ace was a black woman who was the first woman to fly an airplane. Her name was Bessie Coleman. And I was like, wow, who is Bessie Coleman? And in Jacksonville, they got this this film that made all this money for the Norman Studios back in the 1920s. Again, who made the Lauren Hardy films and some of the Black Cowboy films and the Green Hornet, you know, different stuff like that. And so I found out that this woman, Bessie Coleman, was this young black woman during the late 1800s, was born. And she, if you ever seen Hidden Figures, they talked about these young girls, black girls that were geniuses. Well, Bessie Coleman was one of these girls. She, at a very young age, she come up from a family like 13. And of all those children, her mother said, Bessie Coleman is the crazy one. When she was young, she knew how to pick up numbers early. Her father was a full Choctaw Indian. Mother was a black woman, because you need to realize this was during the late 1800s. So the new Negro period, coming up into the Harlem Renaissance, and ultimately she moved from the South to Chicago. In Chicago, she became adored by Robert Abbott, who ran the Chicago Defender. She became like the fastest manicurist in the whole state. You know, she worked at the White Sox, some salons. She ended up owning her own salon, and there was some trash talking that went on with her brothers who came home from the war, and they talked about how these white women in France were awesome because they knew how to fly airplanes, and there was a whole bunch of trash talking. She said, well, I'm going to learn how to fly. And she had to ultimately go to France, just like the World War I soldiers did. She had to go to France to learn how to fly because she was black, and then she was a woman. And
wow.
Somebody, an instructor and a student died. They fell out of the air, and these were wooden planes at the time. And almost everybody left the class. She was the one that stayed in that class and ended up getting a license. She was the first woman, black or white, in the United States to get an international pilot's license. She got it back, I think, in 1920 or 1921. But to make a long story short, she was the first black woman to fly an airplane. She would go to these shows, and there would be 15,000 people would show up. She was a sensation because of how beautiful she was also. But then back in 1926, she ultimately died in my hometown, Jacksonville. And I always wanted to do some kind of memorial to her. We end up being on the cover of the newspapers here, and I end up writing a strip on life where I really would like for it to turn into a big film. And I'm talking about an incredible script of her life. I did a documentary that ended up, you know, letting more and more people know about who she was, and I'm really proud of that. And, you know, that's a project that I'm going to work on forever because of how incredible this woman was.
Wow. Wow. So, you know what? Like I told the people at OPO, you got your hands in a lot of great things, and I'm just, it's always a pleasure. I'm going to tell you.
Well, let me say this. Let me say one more thing. Let me say one more thing. Let me say one more thing. There's a road that's named after her in Chicago going towards turning your rental car back in. There's a Bessie Coleman Highway Bessie Coleman Road in Chicago. And every, I think it was Memorial Day, out in Chicago, there's a burial plot out there where they fly and they land roses and flowers on her grave. She was the reason that there are Tuskegee Airmen, because before there's Tuskegee Airmen, that was that put that school, one of the many schools that opened at the Tuskegee, and the Tuskegee Airmen came about. They came about as a result of being taught in a Bessie Coleman school.
Yeah, well, you know, we got Bessie Coleman Parks. We got the Coleman Branch Public Library on the south side. And, you know, to your point, listen, this lady is definitely an American hero and iconic, not just an African-American, but we're going to say in history of America, she's a hero. We hear so much about Amelia Earhart, and, you know, but we don't hear a lot about Bessie Coleman. And I know you're going to work to change that. So listen, you got to keep us abreast of that, because that's a definitely admirable project.
Amelia Earhart, she idolized Bessie Coleman.
Wow.
Yeah, Amelia Earhart came 2 years before, 2 years after Bessie Coleman, and she idolized Bessie.
I did not know that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
See.
As a matter of fact, Mae Jemison's from Chicago. She took a picture of Bessie Coleman up with her in 1992 into space.
Wow. So you know what that means, Opio? That means you got to come on down to the Chi-Town, right? Come on back to the Chi-Town, I should say, because you spent some time here. You spent some time here in
spent
your past, right?
A lot of time in Chicago. I used to be there every summer. Chicago's one of my homes. I love Chicago.
That's what's up. Now, listen. I wanted you to hit on, because you know what, there's so many different places that we can go, but let's talk about the activism role. And, you know, you've been on the forefront of a lot of different movements. You were one of the more recent movements was Marissa Alexander, right?
Yes, Marissa, she had a very similar issue to Zimmerman, where she actually shot her a pistol in the air to trying to get her ex-husband away from her, who was abusive towards her. And she ultimately got 20 years. When George Zimmerman, he shoots and kills Trayvon Martin and he gets off. And so those are the two things that played. And ultimately, Marissa Alexander got out of prison as a result of a lot of our activism. It wasn't just me, but there's a lot of people around the country that end up picking up. I just happened to be the president of the local SCLC in Jacksonville when that happened.
Right, right. And you know what? Don't underplay what you did, because, you know, I know what you did. You were on the front lines with that movement, and really, to be honest with you, you were there almost every day at the court, and you really, really, you took people down there, and I mean, you know, you played a huge part. And I mean, even into this day, I think I looked up, and I wasn't surprised to see you with Marissa at an event recently. I saw a photo of you guys standing together, and I'm like, you know, hey, that's my boy, that's Opio. So, hey, I know what you did.
Marissa, Marissa's awesome, man. She comes to my class a couple times. The courtroom deal was the Jordan Davis, who got killed by that white guy over loud music. And that's where we were all out in front of the courthouse every single day. And I'm talking about rain, cold, couldn't feel your fingers every single day. And we end up, there was some justice, because that guy will never get out of prison ever as a result of killing that boy.
Well, and I'll tell you what, you know, your result was very pronounced up in there, because, you know, you stayed for that trial. You know, you were there at the courthouse. I mean, I'm looking up on the news and I'm seeing you there just on the front lines. And, you know, I just can't commend you enough. We're going to go to the we're going to go to the phone lines because we already got some callers. But if you want to call in and talk to our honorable guest, the Honorable Mr. OBO Ciccone, the call-in number is 213-943-3684. I'm going to say that again, 213-943-3684. Let's go ahead and take a call before we get back into some more great things. So let's take that call. Come on in, caller. Caller, you're on the air with One World Talks and our special guest, Opio Ciccone. Hello. Caller. Okay. Okay. No,
like
you always
I probably
got
put one of your listeners to sleep.
I'll tell
I like
you what, you know me. I don't know what they were doing, but you know what? We're gonna continue on. And again, if you want to call in, 213-943-3684. No way you can put anybody to sleep. So let's talk about the advocacy piece from the standpoint of the SCLC, because I know we have a commonality with that, and you know we don't want to spend a lot of time there. But it would be totally amiss if we didn't talk about the historical legacy of Dr. King and the organization that he founded. And, you know, you and I, just for full disclosure, you know, I was a county president out of Florida for a brief period of time. You were there substantially longer than I was. And, you know, you did some very historical things like you just mentioned. But what is your feelings about the organization and where it stands? And, you know, I mean, you know, I'd like to know. People would like to know.
Yeah, I think that because of Dr. King's name and legacy, and this guy was a martyr, I think people are always going to give respect to the SCLC, always. I would like to see people like you become president, national president of that organization. And I would like to see a little bit more in the our organization being in the forefront of more of the issues. Dr. King, you want to talk about a revolutionary? Dr. King was a revolutionary. I remember when I was a lot younger, I used to always go, Malcolm X, no, not Dr. King, not Malcolm X. But then when you really, anybody who really studied Dr. King and studied the violence that he was a part of and some of the things that he did when he was not on camera, and I'm talking about, and then ultimately got killed doing it, you realize that that was a man that was brilliant and fearless. But when he was a child, he almost died because he fell out of a window when he was 12. I think he was 8 years old when he fell out of a window because his grandmother died when he was at a parade, and a girl told him not to go to that parade. And he ultimately went, and when he was there, she passed away. And when he got back, he was so grief-stricken for days that he fell out of a two-story window and almost died. But this was somebody who graduated from high school at 15 and ended up going to college and then kept going to college. And then he went, and instead of going out and making money or just become a preacher, you know, he went out and then he did the work and really, really taught people how not to be afraid.
Right, right. Well, the other part about that is people don't know that there's a lot of tragic circumstances surrounding the whole King family, like the mother King or Mama King was killed while playing organ on a Sunday morning, and AD, which is Dr. King's brother, was found mysteriously floating in a swimming pool, and he was a trained swimmer. So, you know, how did that happen? So, you know, there's a lot of tragic circumstances surrounding that family and a lot of things that people don't know. And, you know, I had the opportunity to spend some time with them, not the siblings, but the grandchildren and the nieces and nephews. And, you know, I just, it's a very, very tragic American story. But we definitely have to work to keep the legacy of Dr. King alive because it's still valuable in this day and age. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and his dad would have been killed in that same church that his mother got killed if they didn't tackle the gunman, and who they said that he had some kind of mind control, but he was insane, and he had all these delusions and killed the mother and almost killed Dr. King's father as well.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. You know what? We're gonna try to go back to the phone lines again. We got if anyone wants to call in, 213-943-3684. We're talking to Opio Ciccone, special guest. Caller, you're on the air with One World Talks and Opio Ciccone. Hello.
Good evening. God bless everybody. Is this okay if I can announce myself?
Yeah, I think this is one of our followers. This is one of the followers of the show. Good young man himself.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Go ahead and announce yourself, sir. This is Dr. Elder Joseph Pugsley. I am the vice chaplain and the communications director of Freedom First International. Mr. Opius, I'm glad to hear you. You know, I'm glad to get information and be educated today. And about Betsy Coleman, I want to say my comments about Betsy Coleman is she does not be talked about a lot. You know, I remember hearing stories about her growing up when I was visiting Chicago back in the mid-90s. You know, I remember hearing a lot of stories about how she was the first African-American young lady to be an astronaut or whatever the case may be. And it was just exciting, you know. But we got to get back in our roots of talking about this fantastic woman, you know. And I just enjoyed the information. I think that needs to be in our communities, not just in our community, but to our young women as well, because our young women don't know who they are these days. So we shared stories about a Betsy Coleman or a Coretta Scott King or Mama King, as you was mentioning, Bishop Greer, or all these women, that we would get back to the roots of women leadership, of training our young women to be women. Amen. To be women. You know, we're out of the time where women are not being women, you know, and not just that, you know, the brothers don't even respect the women no more. You know, we've been having incidents in Chicago where we have been missing females because no one don't want to stand for our women. So I'm saying all this to say to you, sir, that thank you for that education about Betsy Coleman, because we need it. And if this education be in our community, then we'll be do better of treating our women like queens and like they somebody.
Well, let me add a woman onto that. When she died in 1926, she had a couple funerals. She had two in Jacksonville, Florida, where she died. One was at a historical place called Bethel. She had one in Orlando, where she was actually living briefly at the time. Then she had her big funeral. Over 15,000 people showed up in Chicago. It was officiated by none other than Ida B. Wells. When you want to talk about a great woman, imagine Ida B. Wells officiating your funeral, as incredible she was. Now, let me tell you this also. The reason I have a drone license from the FAA is because of Betsy Coleman, and I put that on my application. When I studied Betsy Coleman for a couple years, I actually rented out a hangar down in Jacksonville, Florida, just so I could be around planes when I studied her. And I got to learn about charts and all this good stuff. And so when I began studying drones, and I wanted to fly drones, because that's the cutting edge technology. I did it in honor of Betsy Coleman. I thought I couldn't pass, but I remembered a couple years back when I studied charts, and that was supposed to be the hard. I thought, well, I studied that when I was studying about Betsy Coleman, and I went in, and I was able to pass the test. And again, that was because of Betsy Coleman. FAA drone license because of Betsy Coleman.
Wow. Well, you know what, Pastor Pugsley, thank you for following the show. Thank you for calling in. And I tell you what, you know, we got to continue doing this. We need more than 30 minutes for Opio. I'll tell you that right now. So thank you for calling in. And we look forward to doing some shows with you as well. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir. And Opio, it was a pleasure to hear you. And I enjoyed the history. And I'm going to do my studying more, and so we can teach our young people about Betsy Coleman, Ida B. Wells, and all these other iconic women that was here on this earth.
Well, thank you, and I'd like to say to Reverend Greer, I've been selling these lessons for drone lessons. I'm going to give those to you for free, and anybody you want to give it to that want to learn about drones and how to get a license,
wow.
You can. What I'm selling, you can get it free from Pastor Greer, Reverend Greer there.
Wonderful,
hey,
wonderful.
You know what? Thank you for that. I'm gonna put you on hold, and you can stay on and listen to all as long as you want, Pastor Pusley. And then, Opio, let's.
Thank you,
let's,
Pastor
I'm gonna just.
Thank you, sir.
I tell you, he's a great guy. He's definitely a great person. So we got about 3 minutes left, and I want to go through just a couple of different current things in about 2 minutes, and then we really need to. People need to know how to get a hold of you. So maybe we should do that first. How does someone, if they need some more information about Betsy Coleman, about, you know, a lot of the things that you're doing with documentaries, and some of your activism work, how do they get a hold of you, Opio?
Yeah, they can Google Opio Ciccone. A lot of stuff, a lot of times everything will pop up. I'm on Facebook, and Opio is O-P-I-O, last name Ciccone,
right.
S. O-K-O-N-I. So Opio Ciccone, you'll be able to see a lot of different stuff. If you go Betsy Coleman Flying the Blues, you'll be able to pick up the documentary. All that stuff is free. But yeah, I'm on Instagram as Opio Ciccone, definitely.
Thank you. No, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And you know what? I will share your information on the web page. And this segment reaches about 67,000 listeners, so we're going to make sure that it's well publicized. So just throw a couple of current topics out, you know, in about 2 minutes, and need to know what you think, and let's see if we can do it.
Yes, sir.
Donald Trump.
The worst president probably you have ever seen. He and George Bush, I think, are neck and neck.
Lord.
But I'd never forgive Trump for what they did to those boys in Central Park. And I know the boys got paid, but they were innocent. And somebody else is in prison for doing that to that lady in Central Park in the 80s.
Wow.
But Donald Trump
wow.
took out a full-page ad slandering those boys, and I'd never forgive him for that.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Social justice.
Social justice, it's really the only way. If you want to leave a good name to your children, get into social justice and have your heart there. You can leave a whole bunch of money and a bad name, and your children end up horribly. But you can leave no money and a good name for public service, and your children be able to walk into any door.
Wow. Okay. Let's see. 90 seconds. One more African-American history, and I think we can wrap with that.
African-American history? Let me tell you, if you want to learn about African history, you want to learn about Patrice Lumumba, you want to learn about some of the greats that have gone along, read Chancellor Williams' Destruction of Black Civilization. You want to read a book, read The Destruction of Black Civilization. Read the autobiography of Malcolm X. That book changed my life. Get some Public Enemy into your young children's life so they can kind of get an idea of where some of us old heads coming from. There's another book called They Stole It, But You Must Return It by Richard Williams. Read that book. Incredible books. And also Marcus Garvey. You want to learn about Marcus Garvey and business and the love for yourself, read Race First by Tony Martin. Race First by Tony Martin about the life of Marcus Garvey.
I tell you what, you heard it here, folks, and I tell you, if you want to reach Opio, I'm going to say it again so people will know, O-P-I-O, last name spelled S-O-K-O-N-I, and just a firestorm of just wealth of knowledge and just everything. And I tell you what, listen, thank you, and we got to do another segment with you. We got to have you back on, okay?
Anytime. You got to come on my show too, that brother.
I will. All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate you. And we look forward to doing this again. God bless you, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.